the Truly Amazing Women Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the voice of entrepreneurs. In each episode of the show, we shine a spotlight on the women who are making strides and changing lives. We are very excited today to be launching our brand new Truly Amazing Women Show, and we are here with a wonderful guest to launch, Sonia Gavankar. Welcome to the show, Sonia.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be part of your outstanding women.
Yeah, truly amazing. And you are. You are a TV personality who has been seen hosting programs on PBS, BGTV, and MHZ networks. Your career has spanned diverse programming from food shows to hard news. And right now you are the face of the DC-based Newseum, a 250,000 square foot, excuse me, I'm in this building right now and it is enormous. So 250,000 square foot exhibit and interactive programming space. So here we are tonight, happy to talk with you. And in addition to featuring you in the Incandescent Radio Network, you are going to be our first interview in our journalist's column on Be Incandescent magazine coming in March 2013. So let's get down to the questions. First, I don't know that our listeners know, but you were Miss DC when you were 20 years old back in 1997. So we want to hear all about being Miss DC. What was that like, the pageant world? And I don't think enough of us know about that world.
It seems like a totally underground world that people love watching on TV and they love making fun of, but they don't really understand it. And I say that with authority because I was one of those people. I watched it every year with my mother, and we would watch all the pageants that were on television, and we'd make fun of all the girls, and we'd cheer for our home state, and then never thought that I would ever enter it. But I answered an ad in my college newspaper, and the ad said, young women looking for scholarship money, call this number. So I did, and they said, oh, it's the preliminary to the Miss America pageant. And I was like, what? not my deal at all. I've always been a tomboy. I feel most comfortable in my pajamas. So I wasn't one of these people who thought like, oh, I will dress up and wear an evening gown and a swimsuit on national television. So I did it as a joke because I thought that is a really good story. I'm going to tell this to my grandchildren and it's going to be a great laugh. And then I met the other contestants and got very type A personality and got very competitive immediately and wanted to win. So that's what I set out to do, and that's what I did. And then I went to the Miss America pageant right after.
Wow.
It was crazy. You know, you get crowned, and then suddenly you're like, oh, I did this as a joke. Oh, no, this is the big time. You're going up against, you know, Miss Alabama, Miss Texas, who have been bred to do this, and you're showing up with a short pixie haircut. You know, you're sort of behind the curve, to say the least.
So what is it like in the pageant world?
It's totally surreal, but it's also great. It's a little bit like cheerleading camp. There are a lot of really perky personalities, but you immediately find your tribe. You know, three of the girls from the contest were my bridesmaids in my wedding. So you find your like kind. We just had our 15-year anniversary, and nine of us got together to reminisce. And it was like being backstage again with these girls. It's crazy. You know, we don't really have anything in common except that we are driven young women, and we had this shared experience at the age of 20, 22, 24. And it was like back to old times. It was crazy. Except we ate, you know, carbs. That was the only difference.
What was your talent?
I was an opera singer.
Oh, neat. Oh.
I did that for fun. I was always a singer. I was always in music theater and was learning opera in college. And so when I did this competition and then there's the talent portion, I thought, oh, I'll just sing the same song I'm singing for my juries. Done. Wore my prom dress. It was a little too easy, to say the least.
That's amazing. So what happened? I guess you didn't win the Miss America
I lost
title.
Big time. I did. I lost. I like to tell people I was contestant number 11.
That's so bad.
No, you never know. I could have been, but probably not.
We're going to go with
not,
that.
No, yeah.
So how did you parlay your title into a career as a journalist? You were, what college were you at the
time? I was at American University here in Washington, D.C. That's what was made me eligible for the competition. And I was a journalism major, broadcast journalism. I always wanted to be a journalist since the beginning of the first Gulf War. I was watching it with my parents and thought, that is awesome. I want to totally be doing that. So I wanted to be a war correspondent and went to journalism school. And the rest is sort of history. So the pageant really has nothing to do with my journalism career. I mean, the joke is always that pageant girls go on to journalism careers. But in my case, the journalism love came first. The pageant sort of fell in, and then I continued on with journalism.
That makes sense. So what do you do here at the museum?
So we call me the face and the voice of the museum. I'm in the video exhibits that we produce here at the museum. We're totally self-sufficient. We have our own production facilities. We're actually recording right now in one of our edit studios. So we do everything in-house. So that makes it very easy for us to also just, you know, pull me to do the on-camera work as well. So this is my full-time job. This is what I do day-to-day when I'm not on camera. I also produce the video exhibits.
Nita, well, and we actually met when you were interviewing some of my clients at News Channel 8 for Let's Talk Live. Mm-hmm. So you freelance, clearly.
I freelance as well, and actually the museum is great, and they let me go during my lunch break to Channel 7 and Channel 8, and I do some freelance work over there during my lunch break. So I run over, park the car quickly, do the segment, and then head back to the museum.
And that is not all the stuff that you do on the side. I understand that for 5 years, you were the president of the Hugh O'Brien Young Leadership Foundation. Mm-hmm. And during your tenure, you grew the program by 50% and added one-day freshman events to the program, which trains hundreds of students annually. Working with young people is clearly important to you. Tell us about the foundation and the work you do there.
The Hugh O'Brien Youth Organization, which we call HOBY for short, is dedicated to freshman and sophomore high school students. And it's all about experiential learning. So it's not teaching students what to think, but how to think. It's all about bringing near peers to actually interact with them, and then using that knowledge that they learn from those folks to then put into practice. Community service is a very big portion of that training. So we always make sure that there's a public service component built into our programs as well. It's a great program that I actually went through when I was a sophomore in high school. Touched me and made me feel far more empowered with my views and what I wanted to do with my life. And so this is a great way for me to then give back here in Washington, D.C. It's a great program here in Washington, and building it from, you know, a great baseline has been a lot of fun to watch.
So you grew up here in D.C.?
I grew up actually in Illinois.
Okay.
Yeah, I grew up in Illinois, Joliet, Illinois. And came here for college and state.
Excellent. So in addition to all of that, you're also a successful photographer and have shown your work in DC galleries. Tell us about that passion.
Well, I really wish that I was arty. I desperately want to have cool glasses and like maybe some tattoos. I desperately, desperately want to be artsy. And I just have some great friends who are graphic designers who encouraged me to really pick up a camera and give it a try. And that encouragement really allowed me to find what I wanted to do with photography. I started taking, you know, still life close-ups of flowers like everybody does, and then slowly grew that. And now I'm trying to do more personality headshot work just for fun. There are plenty of experts out there who can do it, but I like capturing the personalities and capturing the characters, which is a little bit like journalism, but in a still frame, which is, I'm finding very hard to do.
And these are people that you interview, famous people?
It depends. It depends on who, you know, kind of comes across my path and, you know, interesting faces, interesting stories. I try and grab them.
That's very cool. You know, your success and your determination hasn't gone unnoticed. In 2012, you were awarded one of the 40 Under 40 honors from the EVEST, EVEST Foundation for your professional and philanthropic achievements in D.C. Tell us a little bit about that. How does it feel? How does it feel to be awarded? And is there any pressure?
I'm just honored that I won it before turning 40. I mean, it's like always nice to be able to be considered. So, yay. It's a big honor. It's something that I won last year and was, you know, very honored. They have this award ceremony and you show up and you don't have any expectation of like who the other 39 people are. And then you read their bios and you're like, this is inspiring. This is amazing. The Invest Foundation does great work. They're a great sort of incubator for young leaders and entrepreneurs and just people who want to do good work in the community. So being with them and bouncing ideas off of each other really is helpful at this stage of our professional and philanthropic careers.
Is it something that's like a club and you continue to connect with them?
Sort of. It's very hands-off. You know, they sort of select you for this great award and then they said, oh, we have these, they have this series called the Bellwether series, where they bring in experts to talk about philanthropy and professional development. And it really is a chance for this low maintenance way of sitting together and really finding the next step and finding your own leadership potential. Because we all go through these career classes and, you know, mentoring large group settings and also these cocktail networking receptions, and you never really get out of it what you want. And in this case, it's sort of a they've selected a group of people that interact with each other and get inspired by each other, that you can also go back and say, oh, you know, I'm having a little bit of trouble with my foundation being compliant with nonprofit rules here in Washington, D.C. Can you and your organization help me find the way? That's a great thing that saves a ton of time, especially when you're dealing with governmental things.
Yeah. So what kind of stuff do you cover here at the museum in addition to these exhibits?
The exhibits here at the museum are really focused on the First Amendment and the history of news. We like to say that news is the first draft of history. So that's the angle that we come at it at. We love when we encounter visitors interacting with our exhibits and saying, oh, I remember that. Oh, I've heard about that. Because that is what news is. You heard about it. You maybe watched it or listened to it on the news. And then let's think about how that whole story evolved historically. So that's what we look at. We also have this great wealth of knowledge of having great reporters who were there, who will then come to the museum and tell us the story behind the news. Mm-hmm. So hearing what it was like to cover, you know, Gulf War I, which is what got me into journalism. And sitting, when you get into an elevator and Christiane Amanpour, your hero, is standing in the elevator with you, you sort of want to fall at her feet, but you try and keep it cool and tell her that you're the reason, she's the reason that you went into journalism. So having experiences like that every day is fantastic.
I had a similar experience when I worked at the Miami Herald and Dave Barry got into the elevator. I'm like, oh my God, you're Dave Barry. He goes, yes, I am. Who are you?
Exactly. I was like, and you try and act very cool and you can tell that, you know, she can tell that you're dying inside from excitement.
But I'm sure she was cool and you were cool with her. So that's all good.
I don't think I was, but thank you for thinking I could be.
What's your favorite exhibit here?
Ooh, you know, my favorite exhibit is actually not a multimedia exhibit. It's actually the Watergate door. It's the door that was taped open by the Watergate burglars. The FBI took it during the investigation and, you know, used it. However, they did their investigation. After keeping it for years, they called the Watergate management and said, we'd like to return your door to you, which they had obviously replaced years ago. I guess the building manager took it. And it was sitting in his basement. He read an article about the museum building its new location here in Washington and called us and said, I've got the door to the Watergate that still has all of the FBI police tape all over it. Do you want it? And we said, well, be right over. So we sent a car right over and picked that up. And it's in our exhibit, in our news history gallery.
I actually think I saw it in the gift shop. There's something in the gift shop.
Yeah, we saw keys to it. No need to tape it open any longer.
That's excellent. So tell us what's ahead for you, especially on the journalism front and personally and all good stuff.
I don't know. 2013 is going to be a big year for me. My husband and I are starting a family this year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's crazy. Talk about type A personality. It's like, how do you wrap your mind around something that you can't? But I'll figure it out. I'm not, as my mother likes to say, you're not the first person to have a baby. That's right. So that's a big change for us. But, you know, really doing more live on-camera work is something that really gets me excited, really keeps me interested. And I love meeting interesting people and being able to draw the best of them out to talk about what they're bringing to the community. That's what really excites me.
Excellent. Well, we know that you have a very bright future. Congratulations on being a new mom or soon to be new mom.
Thank you.
From all of us who have been there, done that.
I will be calling you for advice.
And we will be here to hang out and give you some encouragement. All right. That's it for today's episode of the Truly Amazing Women Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the voice of entrepreneurs. If you're a truly amazing woman or know someone who is, don't hesitate to contact us. Simply log on to www.trulyamazingwomen.com and fill out the proposal form. We've profiled more than 250 women on the site who fit the bill of being truly amazing, and we look forward to honoring more. Who will be our next truly amazing woman? Tune in next week for a new episode on www.incandescentradio.com. Here's to your incredible, indelible success.